Father, I thank you, Lord. For all things are yours. We were created to praise the Lord. And we give you honor and praise this morning as we examine this amazing and wonderful subject of the wonders and power of praising the Lord. And we ask, as always, that the entrance of your word will bring light and understanding into our beings, in our very beings, that will be inspired when we leave this room to more often praise the Lord and to praise the Lord with our whole heart. And help us, O Lord, to put on that garment of praise, not only in this room this morning, but also throughout the day, everywhere and in every place. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, so, you know, every once in a while, I want to come on here. Good morning again, everyone. Good afternoon. Come on in here, you know, from time to time and talk about praising the Lord. But it's such a powerful, powerful subject. And, you know, nothing more that, you know, that we can do with things other than praise the Lord. That's the highest thing that we can do, offer the Lord. Nothing more we can do to give to the Lord is our praise. When we offer him our highest praise, it's wonderful, you know. And we're going to consider that this morning. Few stories in the Bible which are not unknown to everybody, but, you know, that we learn how to practice the art of praising the Lord. You know, we want to take a look at that here this morning. I want to do some of it too. Praise the Lord. Praise comes in many different dimensions, you know. And, people offer praise to the Lord in various ways, you know. So, but the Lord said, if you do offer praise unto him, Psalm 50 and verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. When you offer praise, you're glorifying the Lord. And, you know, the purpose of God for us, you know, is for us to glorify him. He has made us, created us for his own glory. Hallelujah. And so we'll look at ways of offering praise to the Lord this morning. Now, the one thing that the Lord, you know, does not want is, you know, for us to offer vain praise or praise from our lips that are vain. You know, what is vain means? Well, it means, you know, like the Lord said, you know, these people, they praise me with their lips, you know, but their heart is far from me. You know, so that kind of praise is not going to get anywhere, you know, with the Lord. You know, Matthew, that scripture is written in Matthew, 15 and verse 8, Jesus referring to it, but also in various places in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Ezekiel. You know, let's take a look at, Isaiah 29, for instance, Isaiah 29 and verse 31. Let's take a quick look at that. It is important for us, you know, in the art of praise that we do it from a true heart, you know, so that is so important that we do that. And we praise the Lord, you know, he said in Isaiah 29 and 13, wherefore saith the Lord, for as much as these people, you know, do draw near unto me with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me, but I remove their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, saith the Lord, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among the people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the vision of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent shall be hid. Well, so we don't want to be, you know, like the ones that praise the Lord only with their lips, but their heart is far away from the Lord. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 33 And verse 31. You know, God never really cared too much when people just praise the Lord without really getting it into their spirit. So, you know, he gives, you know, several warnings, you know, and so forth. And here's what he says. These people that come, you know, and sit before thee as my people, they hear thy words. Now, this is like when, you know, people go to the church or an assembly or like this assembly, you know, they hear what they said, but they will not do that. For with their mouth, they show much love. But with their heart, they go after other things, you know. So, you know, God is rebuking that heart posture that is not truly after the Lord. So we just come on here, we say, praise the Lord, and everybody say, hallelujah. Well, that's not what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about real heart-driven praise that comes from a posture of gratitude and worship. Jesus said in John 4 and 24 that, you know, those that worship the Lord, worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, this art of praising the Lord properly from the heart is part of a life of worship. You know, so we want to consider that, you know, as we look at this subject today. Now, why do we need to praise the Lord? Why should we? You know, well, for one thing, all things were created for his glory and for his praise. You know, and that's what the scripture says, you know, throughout the Bible. And let's consider some of these verses. You know, even in the book of Revelation, we see John, you know, he sees all these things going on in heaven. You know, he sees, you know, all the representations that are in around the throne. He sees the beasts, he sees the elders, he sees all these things. And then he sees when everybody's just saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. You know, and then he said in Revelation 4 and 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor to him and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, then the 4 and 20 elders, who actually represent, you know, all the, you know, the body of Christ, the believers down through the ages, you know, they fall down before him that sat before the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns down before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Yeah, that's why we need to praise the Lord and worship him. Now, worship, as they described it in this place, is actually, you know, falling down before the Lord. Now, that's a, you know, that's actually a part of worshiping the Lord that is a forgotten art, if you want to call that, call it that. You know, people don't even know how to worship and how to bow down before the Lord anymore. You know, but this is, you know, this is what they did, you know, cast their crowns, bow down before the Lord, and just worship. Hallelujah. Psalm 95 and verse 6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You know, people forget to do that sometimes, you know, yeah, but the Lord, you know, when we bow the knee to the Lord, you know, Paul said, well, you know, because of all the greatness of the Lord in my life, for this cause I bow the knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we bow the knee and we praise the Lord, this is what the elders were doing. Cast even their crowns, all their achievements, they cast before the Lord. Well, that's just one part of our worship. Worship is also a way of life. You know, that we must conduct, I mean, how we must live our lives before the Lord must be a life of true worship. That's what Jesus was saying in John chapter 4, you know, today I'm only focusing on this part of it, which is really, you know, praising the Lord. You know, and this is, should be driven from a heart of true worship. That's where praising the Lord comes from. You know, we think of all of his goodness. We think of all of his wonderful things that he has done for us, continues to do, and his promise, you know, that he has given us even for the future. And we think of who he is, and we just love it. Just want to praise the Lord. I mean, coming to the Lord in prayer and asking me to do this and to do that and to do the other, that's fine. But what about praise? What about worship? You know, and when you begin to praise the Lord, there are many things that can actually happen. If we learn the habit of praising the Lord, you know, there's a lot of situations that we might find ourselves, you know, even from time to time. But praising the Lord can help to lift, you know, some of those heavy burdens and break barriers and do a number of things. You know, so let's consider some of the things that the scripture says about praising the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, you know, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Now, so let's take a look at this. You know, God says, instead of their mourning, instead of the ashes they put on their head and so forth, I'm going to give them beauty, the oil of joy, to replace that mourning and that sadness. But look at what he said about the garment of praise. I'm going to give them the garment of praise to replace the spirit of heaviness. You know, that means, you know, that, you know, when we are in that, you know, downer situation with heaviness and all of that, a spirit of praise can break that thing, you know, so that we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that he might be glorified. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, all that he might be glorified. Everything must be for his glory. Is it for my glory, saith the Lord? You know, well, yeah, it's got to be about his glory. You know, we were created even for his glory, you know. And we're going to look at a few more things here about, you know, how that the praises of God can bring victories, you know. We've seen that in the Bible. But I mean, the other things that you may not know, that the praising the Lord can do. And I'm going to share that with us today. You know, because it's a powerful tool. On Sunday, this last Sunday, 2 days ago, you know, I started to bring a message at our local church here. I talked about tools, you know, that we can use for our victory against the devil and the world. You know, I didn't have a lot of time to get into all of it. I might continue that sometime, but praising the Lord, I didn't get to that part. I had to cut it short because we had another event lined up. But praising the Lord, and I just thought, well, let me talk about that here today. Praising the Lord is such an explosive tool. So powerful. And we'll see the people that have used it and know how to use it, you know, in the Bible very well. David was a man that knew how to, you know, use the praising of the Lord for his benefit. But he wasn't just doing it for his benefit. He was just truly praising the Lord. And then God, in turn, you know, when he's pleased with that praise, then, you know, he'll stand up and do mighty things on behalf of David. We've talked about that from time to time. And why was David called a man after God's heart? You know, because he was someone that knew how to praise the Lord. And you can read, you know, some of his writings in the Psalms. And those Psalms can actually lift the spirit of heaviness many times if we really know how to use it. Plus, we can add our own praise unto him from time to time, you know. And the Lord said that, you know, he has created us even for his own glory and for his own praise. Listen to this, you know, in Isaiah 43 and verses 6 and 7. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. There you have it. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So the Lord is telling us here that, look, everyone that is called by his name has been created for his glory. That's right. So we who are called by the name of the Lord, let's bear that in mind. We were created for his glory. And remember, Psalm 50 and verse 23, if you put it together, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. If we were created for his glory, and we are told that when we offer praise, we are glorifying him, then you link the two together, you find out that we should be doing more of that. Because that's what glorifies him. Well, one of the things that glorifies him. So, offering praise. Powerful, powerful. You know, just a few examples in the scriptures. And then I'm going to read to you this writing from Neil Frisby on the subject of praise. Powerful stuff. You know, it's so much anointing on it. It's almost like the Psalms when you read it. And I'll read some of it to you here in a minute. But let's look at, you know, the sometimes in the Bible, how people have really praised the Lord. You know, and what was it that was making them to praise the Lord? Well, we'll consider different examples. You know, there's an example of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. He was praising the Lord and ordering people to praise the Lord there because of the promise of victory. Some of these things that we'll look at, you'll see the various reasons why people praise the Lord. This story in 2 Chronicles 20, which we all know, you know, they were outnumbered 3-1, and even the armies, each of those were larger than them, you know. Ammon, you know, children of Ammon, you know, Moab and Mount Seir. But the prophecy came that don't be afraid, the Lord will fight for you. Now, as soon as Jehoshaphat heard that, he worshipped, and all the people worshipped with him. Now, that's a great leader. Who leads by example in worshiping the Lord. Soon as they heard the word of God that gave them hope for victory against their enemies, you know, the Lord said, tomorrow the Lord will fight for you. And you will not even need to lift your hand in this battle. As soon as they heard that, the Bible said he worshipped. He spent the rest of the day worshiping the Lord, and he began to praise the Lord. And moreover, when he had consulted among the people, he found the best of the children of the sons of Asaph, and all the ones that knew how to, you know, praise the beauty of holiness and how to work those instruments according to the commandment of David, he found it. And he said, look, you have lived every moment for this. And so let's see what you got. So he put them in order. He set them in their place and said, you guys are going to praise the beauty of holiness and you are going to go in front of the army. Now, just imagine that. Who does that? Well, that's someone who understands praise because, you know, in his own mind, it's already done. The Lord already said it. You know, even though we're yet to go in the battle, but because the Lord already said it, I'm going to praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to show forth his praises. You know, so rather than putting the people that are skilled in battle in front, you put the skilled in battle in the back. Now, these people that, you know, had tambourines and the flute and the shofar and all these things, you know, they were not skilled in battle. Their skill was in praising the Lord. They were skillful upon the high sounding cymbals. They were skillful upon the instruments of praise. And those were the people that he put in front of the army. And of course, that praise came before the Lord as a sweet smelling savor. And before the army could even do anything, the army didn't have to do anything. Lord already said that anyhow. You know, but see, Jehoshaphat also in that story, and you should read that story again. I know you've read it multiple times. Read it again and again. Jehoshaphat did not wait until they actually got the victory before he started to worship and to praise the Lord and to get singers and praisers together. You know, he used his praise to make way for the victory. You know, so there are many elements in that story. Praising the Lord even ahead of the battle to win the battle. That's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. Even though they were outnumbered, they are praising the way that they put the praises before the soldiers, you know, that opened for them the floodgate of heaven, and the Lord sent help and brought confusion against their enemies, you know, and their enemies began to fight and destroy each other. First company gathered against, two companies gathered against the third and wiped out the third. And when they were finished, they turned against each other as well, you know, one another, and wiped, you know, they destroyed one another. And in the meantime, you know, children of Judah just continue to praise the Lord. You know, and the enemies destroy themselves. So you can see how powerful praise was in that particular story. And his purpose was, you know, the heart of Jehoshaphat was to thank the Lord for the greatness of the promise. Because they had thought that, you know, today was a day where, you know, enemy and everything come up against them so big, so mighty. The armies that came up against them, they felt diminished. But when the word of encouragement came, they began to praise the Lord. So that's one way of looking at praise. When God gives you hope and promise of the future and great things that he's promised that he's going to do for you, you know, then it's time to praise the Lord. You don't need to wait until you actually see it before you praise the Lord. You can begin to praise the Lord now. That will actually hasten things in coming. You know, so, you know, that's a powerful, powerful story of praising the Lord. How about this story in Acts chapter 16? Of course, after Paul had cast out that divination spirit out of that young woman that was following them all over the place, you know, and everybody, you know, those people that were making merchandise from her divinations, they ganged up against Paul and Silas, got them cast into prison and everything. You know, and, you know, while they were in prison, now, here's another aspect of how these people use their praise. You know, they were not praying that the Lord would set them free. Far from it. They were just happy to suffer for the name of the Lord. And so while they were in prison at midnight, you know, they sang praises unto the Lord. And it, rather than being there grumbling and saying, well, why are we in here? They actually began to sing praises unto the Lord. You know, they prayed and said, well, Lord, you know, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to suffer for your name. And they were focused on that. They were not focused on, you know, escaping. Not at all. Because you'll notice that, you know, when the angel of the Lord came down and busted their chains and the gates and everything, they just sat still in the same place. They were not in a hurry to leave that place. So they are, you know, their praising the Lord was not, you know, because they wanted to escape. That was not the thing at all. If they wanted to escape, they would have just ran out and escaped. They were just praising the Lord. Praising the Lord for an opportunity to suffer for his name's sake. You know, so when the angel of the Lord came suddenly upon them, earthquakes, foundation of the prison shaking, doors were opened, everyone's bands were broken, and so forth. You know, meanwhile, the warden thought that when he woke up out of all that shaking and so forth, he drew out his sword and wanted to kill himself because he thought all these prisoners had escaped. And you know what was going to happen to him? You know, they will have his head. You know, you can't let in the Roman kingdom, you can't let their prisoners escape. They'll have your head. And he was about to kill himself. And Paul said, no, don't do it. We're right here. So they were not praising the Lord to escape. They were just praising the Lord for an opportunity to bear his reproach. That's another thing. You know, it was a way of life for them. It wasn't just, you know, we are going to escape, so let's praise the Lord so we can escape. You know, no. So that's one aspect. And what can you think of before, I mean, the Lord, you know, there was a story in 2 Samuel chapter 6, you know, where the reason that David was dancing before the Lord in this particular case, it wasn't because of, you know, like Jehoshaphat, where the Lord said, well, I'm going to fight the battle for you. It wasn't because he was in prison, like Paul and Silas, and were just praising the Lord for being, you know, an opportunity to suffer for his name. Well, what was his story? What was the thing that he was so, you know, I mean, excited about, that he was dancing before the Lord with all his might? What was the reason? You know, in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14 says, David danced before the Lord with all his might. And why? You know, I mean, you know, what was it? Because the ark was coming back home. Philistines had captured the ark. You know, David at one time did not even want the ark to come to him because of the breach that God performed upon Uzzah, who put forth his hand when the oxen shook that carried the ark, and he was struck down. David said, wow, you know, I don't want this ark here. You know, the Lord's going to do this. And anyway, they sent the ark away, but the Lord, the Lord, you know, surprised David in that the man that received the ark into his house, Obed-Edom, Lord blessed his house tremendously. You know, so at one point in time, you know, David said, well, let's fetch the ark and bring it back to its place. And when the ark was coming, David was so excited, he began to dance before the Lord. And he danced. I mean, this kind of dance was not just a mere, you know, just stay in one place and, you know, just kind of rock from left to right. You know, that was not how he danced. I mean, he was, just ecstatic. He said, "The Lord bless the house of Obed-Edom. My goodness. And I sent the ark away. What was I thinking? What was I thinking?" And so he was so happy. He cast off all the garments and different things and began to dance before the Lord with all his might. Began to sacrifice, do all kinds of things, you know. And my goodness, what was the reason? He was so happy, you know, that the ark was returning home. You know, when we begin to see revival and God begin to do great things, what kind of joy comes into your heart? You know, are you going to be able to dance before the Lord like David did? You know, of course, you know the story of Michal, Saul's daughter, who was his wife at the time and despised him, you know, for all of that. You know, it was like, look at you. You are the king. How can you be dancing in the streets like a crazy person? You know, and you know, because she wanted that my husband needs to be dignified. I mean, he's the king and all of that, you know, just dignify, stand there, nod your head and so forth like that, you know, and you know, so forth, wave your hand and all of that. Just, you know, as in, you know, David wouldn't do any of that. You know, he was dancing like a crazy person. And you know what happened to Michal for despising someone that would praise the Lord with the beauty of holiness? The Lord was wroth with her and she was barren. Lord struck her. You know, so you be careful now. You know, don't mess with somebody that praises the Lord. But of course, David gave it to her too. She said, "Look, you know, if you think that was crazy, you haven't seen anything yet. I will be debased myself even more because I was doing it before the Lord. And all those women which you thought I was, you know, making a shame of myself, I will be had in glory in front of them. And let me tell you something else too. I am praising the God who chose me instead of your father's house." So he gave it to her, true. You know, so, but, I mean, David was a man, he didn't care whether he was kingly. He didn't care, I mean, whether his actions were kingly, rather, you know, dignified. You know, there are some people, you know, they've got to be dignified when they're in the presence of the Lord. You know, you don't get too crazy now. God will be looking at you. Just stand there and nod your head. You know, just, you know, move your hand from left to right. Just swing here and there. But you got to be dignified, they would think. You can't get too crazy. You know, but someone who really had the praises of God in their heart, he didn't care. He went for it. And the Lord said, "Yeah, that's the man. After my own heart." Glory to God. That's the man after my own heart. And there are other people that praise the Lord for various reasons. In fact, you know, we read about the story of Samuel's mother. You know, so an incredible praise that she gave to the Lord. After that, the Lord heard her. You know, her prayers and gave her the fruit of the womb. You know, in her own case, it was because she was thanking the Lord for what the Lord had done. I mean, well, first of all, you know, she heard the comforting words from Eli and he said, okay. And so she went home and was happy or at least relieved, you know, but when the Lord, gave her that child, she fulfilled her promise. I said, well, I promised to bring the Lord this child. And then she said some amazing things. "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord," she said in 1 Samuel chapter 2. "My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in his salvation." I began to, and she gave this song that we sing today. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy
as the Lord. You know, so her reason for praising the Lord was because of something the Lord did. And she began to say, talk no more so proudly exceedingly. Let no arrogancy come out of your mouth. The Lord is a God of knowledge. By him actions are weighed, you know, and so forth. You know, he talked about, you know, there by strength shall no man prevail before the Lord. The Lord will raise up the poor out of the dust and set the beggars on the dunghill. Set up among princes. Make them inherit the crown of his glory. I mean, she just gave this incredible praise to the Lord. The adversaries of the Lord, they are broken in pieces. Well, all of this was because the Lord did something marvelous for her. You know, so there's many reasons why people praise the Lord so mightily in the scriptures. You know, it could be because of something like this. The Lord has done something. It could be because, you know, the Lord had promised something. Yeah, they haven't seen it yet, but they began to praise the Lord in the case of Jehoshaphat. It could be because, you know, I mean, they just see the glory of the Lord returning, you know, something that represents the presence of God. And they began to praise the Lord like David and the ark. I mean, you go on and on and on. There's many reasons. You know, what about Miriam and, you know, what the Lord did for them in getting them, you know, through the Red Sea, and how she took a tambourine and began to praise the Lord and so forth. You know, I mean, there are just Moses himself, you know, he praised the Lord, you know, for that. And Moses sang, you know, and in Exodus chapter 15, verse 2, after the Lord, you know, done great deliverances, we know that Miriam herself had taken the tambourine and began to praise the Lord. David said, look, I will sing unto the Lord. I mean, sorry, Moses. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. And he began to give this incredible praise to the Lord. He said, look, the Lord is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. We sing that song too. Came from Moses. And he's my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. In this case, you know, he was praising the Lord for what God did in throwing the Pharaoh's chariots and everything into the sea. You know, so many reasons, you know, to praise the Lord. But here's the one that I love too. I love this one. I love it almost as much as I love the one for David and Jehoshaphat and the rest of them. You know, this is the story of a man called Nebuchadnezzar. He was a man, you know, that was a king of kings at the time. You know, God made him, you know, to rule over many nations. And his kingdom was amazing. And the thing got to his head, you know. And he, he thought he had achieved all those things by himself. I mean, you know his story. And so, you know, the one day that he thought within himself, well, is this not great Babylon, you know, that I have built for the majesty of my kingdom and by the excellency of my power and so on. I mean, when he was saying all those things, well, the decree went out against him that, you know, he said, look, you know, the holy watchers and everything, they dealt with him. You know the story. And God put him away for 7 years, made him to say, you'll be driven from man, eat grass as oxen, your body will be wet with the dew of heaven and so forth, until you know that the Lord God ruleth in the affairs of men. So, but finally, one of the most incredible praises to the Lord came out of this man after that he was restored. Well, after God showed him, you know, who's really the boss here. You know, then he came back in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. And they begin to say these things. And say, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High. Well, I should have done that in the beginning. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom from generation to generation, now he knows. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, none can stay his hand. Neither can anyone say unto him, what doest thou? Now he knows how to praise the Lord.
At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor, brightness, and everything returned. My counselors sought again to me, and so forth. You know, and God reestablished me, he said, and added excellent majesty unto him. But he knows how to glorify and praise the Lord. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, Ashon Dar Ilabas, praise and extol, honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways are judgment, and all those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. That's right. Nebuchadnezzar finally figured it out. You know, and so, you know, let's not be like Nebuchadnezzar. Wait until God has put us down, you know, because of our pride before we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord already from the beginning. You know, I mean, this man, he couldn't give this kind of praise. In fact, he praised himself at the beginning. You know, but when God showed him, and God left him a stump too, you know, he said, cut down the tree, but leave him a stump, because it's going to be for a lesson. And he's going to come back and give praise to the Lord. And so the Lord did that. And when he came back, my goodness, he gave this amazing praise to the Lord. And so we go on and on and on. There's many reasons that we can, you know, use to praise the Lord. And there are many secrets in praise. And I want to read this writing from Neil Frisby. Some of you have heard us talk about Neil Frisby. And we also have, we call it the prophetic scroll room we do on Tuesdays. Actually, we'll be doing one after this room. You know, so if you've never heard of him or you don't know what that's all about, well, this may be an introduction to you. This is one of his writings, you know, and he wrote this thing. It's almost like the Psalms. I mean, it's amazing. You know, we call it scroll number 70. I want to just read some portions of it to us because, you know, I have never seen anything other than the Psalms that even come close to this thing. You know, and there's so many secrets, you know, that he gave in here. You know, so the Psalms are powerful. And so is this writing to show you all the things that the Lord wants us to learn in the secrets of praise. Glory to God. The secret of praise. So amazing. And he says, this is a dynamic subject of praise. And it's called the rewarder of youth, even. You know, I mean, why is it called the rewarder of youth? Well, you're going to find out, you know, some of the things that he wrote here in a minute. He said, it is the place, the secret place of thunder. That's right. Wherein, you know, the Lord answers back. And if you look in the chat room, Sister Grace has graciously posted an online link. So you can click that link and it'll take you there and read along with me. So thank you, Sister Grace, for posting that. If you click on that link, you will see, read along on some of these things that I'm reading for you here. But he says it's, you know, the rewarder of youth. That's a secret of praise. How can he reward your youth? Well, let's find out. It's a secret place of thunder where the Lord answers back. You know, in Psalm 81, verse 7, the Lord said, well, you know, you call upon me, I'll answer you. You know, he'll answer you in the secret place of thunder. I mean, isn't that amazing? But many of us don't know, you know, these secrets that are in praise. So I want to share them with you this morning. Mostly, you know, so from both the stories that I've read to you from the Bible and the things that I'm going to be reading to you here now. You know, here's what the Lord said. Thou callest upon me in trouble, and I deliver thee, and I answer thee in the secret place of thunder. That's Psalm 81 and verse 7. You know, that means, my goodness, God can answer you from
from an unknown place. Why is it called secret? A secret is something that most people don't know, you know, and the secret place of thunder. And this writing, given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, will tell you what that secret place is. He says, by praising him, that's the Lord, you will receive honey out of the rock, satisfying your soul, giving you a healthy body. My goodness. You know, praise will drive out infirm spirits and will loosen your bones. And he said, heart trouble will not overcome you. And if you should by chance have it, you know, it will leave you by praising the Lord. Say, praising the Lord continually will make the heart happy, and the body will be joyful in health. Your eyes will sparkle, and your vision will be plainer. This is all from praising the Lord. He said, by eating lightly, now that's important, by eating lightly and praising the Lord will intensify these things even more. Also, the dullness of ears. Now, you may be in this room today, and maybe your ears are dull. You can't hear very well out of one ear or out of the other. Praising the Lord, you know, will pop that right open. That's right. By praising the Lord, he said, the dullness of ears will hear sharply. Now, listen to this one. I love this part. Even your complexion, your hair and your lips shall take on a beautiful glow from praising the Lord. And I say, well, Yvonne can't touch this. You can't touch it. None of those cosmetics can touch this. Because praising the Lord will bring on a beautiful glow, your complexion, and so forth. That's why I call, you know, rewarder of youth. See, praising the Lord in intervals will drive back all demon powers from you. You know, and you shall have rest and assurance. He said, by praising him often, oh, glory to God, you will be covered with what? You'll be covered with a bright Shekinah glory. That's by praising the Lord often. That's right. Whether you can see it all the time or not, it'll be right there. And you begin to feel it by the glory of his presence. And devils and demon powers cannot break through this covering very easily as long as you praise him in confidence. Isn't that wonderful? Praising the Lord put a glory, an aura around you that the devils cannot even break through. That's right. You know, we have real life testimonies about that. But let me continue reading. Praising renews the youth. That's why it's called rewarder of youth. It renews your strength. It gives faith and allows the Holy Spirit to speak. How many of you know that, you know, when you're praising the Lord, that's when the Holy Spirit busts forth, even in your own private prayers. When you really get deep in praising the Lord, the Holy Spirit will begin to speak through you and to you. Hallelujah. Begin to bring things. A prophetic gift will, you know, even begin to operate through praising the Lord. Now, I mean, I'm talking about gift of prophecy, not the office of the prophet, you know. Now, praising the Lord, we renew the youth, the strength, and it give faith and allows the Holy Spirit to speak. Praise exalts the Most High and allows the Holy Spirit to flow through us, providing a ministry for each of us according to his own spirit and will in our life. Also, he said, prosperity is as close as one sleeps if he knows how to continually praise the Lord. No matter what confronts a person that knows how to praise the Lord, they will win. He said, he will win. No matter what confronts you, when you know how to praise the Lord, you will win. And he said, a kingly anointing will be present with you all the time. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, all the Psalms that David wrote and everything, and at the end, he was still saying, you know, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's Psalm 150 and verse 6. A person who has the high praises of God in their mouth shall receive knowledge and wisdom guiding him in his daily affairs. and giving him many spiritual highlights in his life. One who humbles himself in praising the Lord will be anointed above his brethren. This is true. You know, he shall feel and walk like a king. Spiritually speaking, even the ground will sing under him. And a cloud of love will engulf him. Because he knows how to praise the Lord. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. So when you know how to praise the Lord, you are drawing, his presence. But he's coming after that you when you know how to praise the Lord. Glory of God is coming. Now, he said, look, you will feel the Lord's hand on your back and on your head, and you will be comforted by the Most High. This is from praising the Lord. Why are there such secrets in praise, he asks. Well, why? Because that is why we were created, is to praise the Lord of hosts. I read that to you in the Bible already. The Lord did not create us just to continually ask for things. That's secondary, he says. We were made to praise the Lord. So, Father, give me this. Father, give me that. You know, this is what we constantly pray. No. The Lord already knows that you have need of those things, Jesus said. Why don't you praise the Lord? You know, that is more in line with the reason why we were created. You know, and he said, look, when we learn how to get into the rhythm of praise, we will feel the sweetness of his presence, and he will reveal even very deep and secret things will be revealed to us for even days to follow. That's right. When you know how to really get to praise of the Lord, you will experience what most people do. When you, the Holy Spirit, you just get in that praise. You begin to praise the Lord and so forth. You know, something happens. It's like you are transcended into a different realm. Praise the Lord. And the Lord reveals secret to you even that. David said, by praising the Lord and being patient, you know, he was relieved of all his troubles and his enemies took flight. Remember, he said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. But all that time, he was praising the Lord. Now, are you in your waiting season? For something. And most of us are. We're always waiting for something. Because we are needy people. You know. But in your waiting season, if you know how to kick it into gear, this will be like a turbo boosting of your faith. Praise is what does that. And if you know how to do it and get that praise in there, just like Jehoshaphat. You didn't have to wait until they actually saw the victory before they praised the Lord. Praise the Lord ahead of the victory. You know, and if you know how to do that and know how to praise the Lord truly from your heart, and we've already covered not just from our lips, but truly from our heart, you know, the answer will be faster in coming. See, when we get into the rhythm of praise, the Lord will bless us. David said, when you praise the Lord, he praised the Lord and was patient, he was relieved from his troubles, and his enemies were put to flight. Now, listen to this. It's a point-blank prophetic utterance. It said, behold, saith the Almighty, praise is the guardian of the soul and the protector of thy body. Ooh, isn't that wonderful? Praise is the guardian of your soul. And let that be a punchline today. And the protector of your body. And you know how to praise the Almighty. That's what that will do to you. It'll keep your soul from the pit, and it'll protect your body, you know, from infirmity and different things. Hallelujah. By praising the Lord early in the morning and late in the evening, you will find that he will answer you and give you plenty of rest. David, the psalmist, said in Psalm 103, he said, look, bless the Lord, you know, he said, for everything that's in me, bless his holy name. Everything. Don't forget any of his benefits. Remember it all. And also in Psalm 34, he said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. These things David said. He said, the Lord who forgiveth all thy iniquity and who healeth all thy diseases. By praising him, you see that even salvation can come. He said, the Lord will deliver you from destruction. In Psalm 103, he said, the Lord will crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He'll crown you, and he will renew your youth, he said. Hallelujah. Fills your mouth with good things and renew your youth like the eagles. All of this by praising the Lord. And David was someone that experienced that. He knew the power of that praise. And the Lord chose his throne too. You know, and he said, look, the Lord will satisfy your mouth with good things. Your youth will be renewed like the eagle. So we see that praising the Lord can renew your strength and your youth. That's why it's called rewarder of youth. Hallelujah. And you will be lifted up in your spirit, high in the eagle, as high as the eagle can fly. He said he'll renew your youth like the eagles. My goodness. Now, when your days feel like the shadow, oh my, and tell me about it. There is not a single person in this room that doesn't go through those at times. That's why we did all those series of mountains and valleys, ups and downs, and different things like that, you know. And days, sometimes, they feel like the shadow. You know, it's like, look, I don't know what's going on here. You feel like a pelican in a wilderness, an owl in the desert, you know, and you feel like a sparrow, you know, on the housetop, you know, way down like a grass. Psalm 102. The psalmist said all these things there. He said, look, my days feel like a shadow that declines. I'm withered like the grass. All these things, you know, I feel all alone. Well, when you feel like that, what should you do? You know, here's what this is saying. When you feel like that, you really need to praise the Lord. Praise him, and he shall refresh you in the breeze of his spirit. He will spread a cloud over you for a covering, and fire around you to give you light in the night. You know, all the enemies in the darkness, they cannot enter into this Shekinah light, he said. Now, praising the Lord is what puts that glory around you. And your enemies cannot penetrate. Remember, you know, the enemy is always looking for a crack, you know, to strike. But you can seal the crack. You can put the glory of God around you through praising the Lord. When you know how to praise the Lord, there'll be a glory around you that the enemy cannot even penetrate. Glory to God. The Lord said, David said, I'll sing unto the Lord. I'll make a joyful noise unto the rock of my salvation. Psalm 30 and verse 2. He said, I cried unto the Lord and he healed me. Now, by praising the Lord, you will enter into the center of his will for your life. He will guide you daily like the light of the sun, and in the night dark places as clear as the moon. The Lord will lead you in new paths, and his revelations will dwell with you along the way, just by praising the Lord. Now listen to this. Praise is the wine of the Spirit, revealing hidden revelations. You know, just like wine stimulates those who drink it. I don't drink it, but those who drink it, you know, praise is the wine of the Spirit. Stimulates hidden revelations. If you know how to get into it, my goodness, it will illuminate the mind, your mind, in understanding the Lord's purpose. It will exalt even the horn of your ministry in delivering even your friends and your relatives. Praise the Lord. Now, I've known also that by praising the Lord, you know, and getting into that, what we call the wheel of destiny, W-H-E-E-L, he revealed many things, even to me in the ministry, even bringing the word of the Lord and so forth. Now, Psalm 91 and verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, what's that secret place? Remember, Psalm 81 and verse 7 said, there's a secret place of thunder. If you know how to do it, that the Lord will answer back to you. You know, that secret place is in praising the Lord and repeating his word. How many times have we said that on this platform? that you can't pray anything outside the word of God and expect it to come to pass. You got to use his word. When you are using his word and wrapping that in your praises, it's like a light that shineth in a dark place, more and more unto the perfect day. It's beautiful. And he said, look, the Lord will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the noise on pestilence. All these things that are in Psalm 91. It starts out by being in the secret place of the Almighty, in the shadow, under the shadow of his wings. You know, he will cover you with his wet feathers. That's like the anointing of the Lord. You will be under the shadow of his wings, like that his power will be around you. You will trust in that, with that confidence that the Lord is with you. He said you will not, you know, be frightened for the terror that fly, you know, by night or pestilence and all these things. You'll be surrounded by the shield of the Lord, and he will be your shield and your buckler. Hallelujah. And even the angels will surround you. He said, the Lord will give his angels charge over you, keep you in all your ways. All of this comes from being in that secret place. Well, it's secret because not many people know how to use the tool of praise. Now, he said, you can even tread upon the devil and demons and trample on the dragons and so forth. And finally, he said, look, you'll be satisfied with long life in verse 16 of Psalm 91. He said, the Lord will satisfy you with long life. All of these simply in praising the Lord in earnest and joyfulness. Now, by praising the Lord, you will respect others. Listen to that. You will respect others and you will touch much less. You will talk much less about them. You know, praising the Lord, you will spend your time praising the Lord. You spend less time worrying about others. You talk much less about others when you learn how to praise the Lord. Because the Lord will deliver you in satisfaction. The Lord said, you know, that David was a man after his heart because he knew how to praise the Lord. You know, every one of us should learn how to read the Psalms daily. But then we should also add our own praise unto him. Because David was, you know, this was what David did. He knew how to praise the Lord. He knew how to, you know, just say incredible things. And when he did so, can read Psalm 18. God answered back from the secret place of thunder. You know, the Lord blasted with his nostrils. The Lord got up. He stood up. He rode upon a cherub. He flew. He thundered with his voice out of heaven. I mean, coals of fire were kindled before him. All of this because David knew what buttons to press. If you want to put it that way. He knew how to praise the Lord. And he was a man that had tremendous power with God. He could get God to get up from that throne. Get God to blast with his nostrils and thunder with a voice from heaven over his enemies. God could send lightnings and hailstone and thunder and stuff over his enemies because of David's praising of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's learn from David, you know. And, you know, David was a man that God also chose because he called him a man that was after God's own heart. And David said, look, I waited patiently upon the Lord. He sang and he praised the Lord. Now, the Lord chose this man's throne, David, to sit upon. Why? You know, why did you do that? Well, listen to this. The Lord chose this man's throne to sit upon. He chose to come through the loins of this man later as the brighter morning star and as the Lion of Judah. You know, the Lord said, look, I am the root and the offspring of David. And it came, you know, through David and all of this. And the Lord whispered in the heavens that he was happy with the king, rejoiced in his steadfastness and so forth. You know, because this man always put his trust in the Lord and he knew how to praise the Lord. And one reason why the Lord chose David's throne to sit upon is because when you are around that throne, David is going to make sure you'll be praising the Lord. The tabernacle of praise, Amos chapter 9 and verse 11, and also in Acts chapter 15, he said, in the last days, the days will come, saith the Lord, that I will, after this will I come, and I will restore and rebuild, hallelujah, the ruins of the tabernacle of praise. That's the tabernacle of David.
The Lord chose this man's throne to sit upon. Because when you are around David's throne, David is going to make sure that you are praising the Lord. So that's one reason the Lord chose his throne. And I also said that, look, when you are in your waiting season, we've given examples here today of the man Jehoshaphat who praised the Lord ahead of the battle, you know, the day when he was waiting, because the Lord said, tomorrow this thing shall happen. Well, so today he praised the Lord, and tomorrow he put the praises ahead of the battle. Or David, who saw the ark returning and was praising the Lord. So Jehoshaphat actually stepped it up. David was rejoicing because of the revival that came. Jehoshaphat was rejoicing ahead of time. So you actually, in your waiting season, while you're waiting for whatever it is you're waiting for from the Lord right now, you can step it up into trouble boosting your faith through praising the Lord. Kick it into high gear and begin to praise the Lord while waiting. Now, that's what the Lord is saying here. It is possible, he said, that even by praising the Lord much, you could have spiritual dreams and visions, and the Lord will give you knowledge of things to come. You know, David said, look, he said, waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry. Psalm 40 and verse 1. And also Psalm 27 and verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, and it will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, I'm adding this here. During that waiting season, kick it into high gear by praising the Lord. That actually brings the answer much quicker. Now listen to this. Praise is life and prepares one for translative light and faith. Wow. The spirit of prayer is fine, but one should praise the Lord more often than just pray. Praising the Lord creates more faith, and the answer is quicker in coming. Now, praising is a dimension unknown by most. It is a dimension wherein the Lord whirls and stirs, wherein feeling of the Spirit occurs. Now, you all know that. When you really get into praise, you feel the presence of the Lord more. You know, but we haven't learned how to stay in that dimension of praise. You know, occasionally, maybe when you go to the house of worship, maybe when you're praising the Lord in prayer and so forth. But if you can really get into a habit of praising the Lord, make it a lifestyle. Hallelujah. Here are some of the things that will happen if you do that. He said, a group that is praising the Lord constantly will cause a revival to break forth around them. And it returns to a dimension of prophecy. I experienced that. Literally speaking, when I was a young man years ago, we were always praising the Lord. You've heard some of my testimonies when I was young. All we did was just come together and began to praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then the next thing you know, the glory of the Lord began to come. You know, next thing you know, the whole school, revival breaking out, miracles of all kinds, just by praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. I'm still praying, you know, that. And back then we didn't even have, like, you know, an amazing praise team like we have these days, you know, and so forth like that, you know, but people knew how to praise the Lord, praise team or not, you know. And sometimes people forget how to praise the Lord, and the praise team is there. It's more like entertainment to most people. Oh, praise team can sing. It's wonderful. That drummer, he can really drum the drums. That guitarist can really go. And the people, their minds are distracted. You know, can really get into the praising of the Lord. And so nothing really happens, you know. But, you know, when the people shall become as one to make one sound in praising the Lord, well, that's when the glory of the Lord descended back in the day. And so, you know, it can happen again too. A group that's praising the Lord constantly will cause a revival to break forth around them. It will turn into a dimension of prophecy. Now, it said even the dimension of healing and miracles will begin to ignite. Devils will cry out and flee. Fear and nervousness will travel from thee as fast as light. I have seen these devils crying out and flee when praising the Lord was in high gear. And people that stood around to mock at first and say, what are they doing? When that praising the Lord kicked into high gear, they started coming and began to fall down, begin to cry out. Devils were coming out of them. Many of them were crying out, Lord, save me, without anyone even preaching to them. Now, the power of praise is amazing. You know, he said, look, fear and nervousness will travel far from you when you begin to praise the Lord. It will move as fast as light. I see Satan fall like lightning, Jesus said. That's moving at 186,000 miles per second. That's how fast the devil will get away from you when you know how to put on your praise. Hallelujah. Tongues and interpretations will take on a new dimension of realism. Oh my goodness, have I ever seen it? You know, and strengthen a congregation when you know how to praise the Lord. Wisdom and knowledge, it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit now breaking forth, will run like a bubbling brook of water. Faith will leap forth as a fire in the field, drive away troubles and diseases instantly. The discerning of spirits to see good angels and discerning to know evil angels, you know, will be your gift in praising the Lord. Now, you know, all of these gifts can break forth even when you are praising the Lord. He said, let our heart pant for the Lord as the water, as the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my heart after thee, O Lord. Praising the Lord from the heart, not just from the lips, it'll be like sweet water to our soul. Now, Psalmist said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. And he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And now he said, the Lord liveth in us according to our praises. In other words, according to the power that walketh in you, according to the level of the praise that you have, that's the dimension of the anointing of God that will be upon you. How high is your praise? Psalm 149 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And then a sharp two-edged sword. See, it's the high praises of God that that puts the weaponry in your heart, in your hand to smash through the enemies. First, the high praises of God in your mouth. Then, the sharp two-edged sword in your hand to bind the princes and pummel them down because of the high praises of God that's in your mouth. Praise him for what he has already done. Hallelujah. Enter this way into God's presence. Important in the art of faith is to praise the Lord and to give him thanks. That's very important. That's part of praising the Lord. Thanksgiving. Praising the Lord. It's, you know, that's, it creates faith. You know, a life of faith is full of praising. It's full of worship and thanksgiving. Enter this way into God's presence. Now listen to this. The power to move any object. Woohoo! The power to move any object is at the bidding of those who have learned the secret of praise. That's right. If you know how to praise the Lord, you can move any object through your praising. My goodness. You know, praise him for what he has already done. Enter this way into his presence. The power to move any object is at the bidding of those who have learned the secret of praise. One must recognize the presence of the Lord, which is around us all the time. You know, whether you see it or not, you may not feel the strength of it though until you enter in with true praise. Now that's right. The presence of the Lord is there around you all the time, but you won't really feel the thickness of it. You won't really feel the weight of his glory until you learn how to enter in with true praise, a heart of praise and gratitude. That's when you will begin to feel his presence even more, you know. Now, the presence of the Lord, when we enter it with true praise, opening up all of our heart, said, then we will be able to see Jesus as though it were face to face. And he said, the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ, it comes It's in that presence. It's just like praise is what parts the veil. And then you can see it. It was there the whole time. Well, praising the Lord will bring you closer to see that glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you'll begin also able to hear the still small voice of the Spirit. Praising the Lord will help you to make your hearing even sharper, even for the voice of the Spirit. It'll help you in making more precise decisions from praising the Lord. And then you'll be able to tell whether it is your own spirit that is impressing something on you or whether it's from the Lord. Praising the Lord will give you this ability to discern that. A person who is withdrawn even, you know, by praising the Lord, they will begin to know even how to speak more outwardly. That's right. Praising the Lord. Glory to God. I know a testimony of a great musician that I love so much. Andrew Crowd gave his testimony one time that he was withdrawn in speech, you know, when he was a young man and so forth. You know, he stuttered, he stammered and all of that. But as he began to praise the Lord and I began to play all those music and praise and stuff like that, you know, his tongue loosened. He gave that testimony. And, you know, and he could speak and he could sing and the glory of God, you know, through all those songs and everything. But this was a man that stammered, a young boy stammered and, you know, stumbled over his words. But praising the Lord loosened his tongue. Hallelujah. A person who's withdrawn will be able to speak more outwardly for the Lord as he praises the Lord often. Now, in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, we are told that Moses spoke with the Lord, or the Lord spoke with Moses face to face, as a man speaketh with his friend. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. We're moving into a dimension more than just face to face. And as I've often said, face to face is good. Many of us have not even experienced that. But what the Lord wants, where he wants us to get to, is beyond face to face. But let's get the face to face too, if we can get it. But face to face is still here and he's there. You are here, he's there. You're still looking at him. But when we come infused, when we become infused with him, my goodness, he's in you and you are in him. One. We become one with him. Glory to God. The place of brighter union. Hallelujah. Is where the sons of God are born. And when you're born, you know, and it comes from knowing how to enter in the life of praise and worship. Glory to God. Now, he gave his own personal testimony, you know, but, you know, I'll leave that alone. There's a few closing remarks, you know, I want to give. Praising the Lord is something that we should try. Try it more often when you are faced with situations where, I mean, and sometimes when you need to you're at a crossroads. I've experienced this myself. When you're at a crossroads and you got to make a decision and one wrong move, you know, bring you, you know, disastrous consequences. Praise the Lord in those situations. Know when to praise the Lord. And if we practice the presence of the Lord through praising the Lord, it becomes easier, you know. You know, rather than grumbling and complaining and murmuring and stuff like that, we can shift it into praising the Lord. And look at all the benefits we have read today. Even your complexion can begin to shine. Moses was in the presence of the Lord so long that when he came, people couldn't even look at his face. You know, they had to put a veil and so on. Praising the Lord can transcend us and transform us into the presence of the Lord. And you know, we are in this flesh and we have to deal with this flesh. But, you know, one way to enter into his presence is through praising the Lord. I pray that the Lord bless you and with this lesson today, and take it with you and practice praising the Lord more often for all the reasons that we have shared today. When you are waiting, praise the Lord. When he comes, praise the Lord. When you have reason to, praise the Lord. When you are heavy, praise the Lord. I mean, in spirit of heaviness, praise the Lord. You know, when you feel, when your days feel like the shadow, when your days feel like you are declining, I mean, you feel all alone. When you feel like an owl, he said, in the wilderness, Psalm 102, a desert, I mean, pelican in the desert, sparrow upon the housetop. When you feel all alone, then praise the Lord. And you begin to see the glory and the beauty of God around you. I'm going to pray over the room, and I want us to get ready and praise the Lord some. Hallelujah. Now, praise is an amazing thing, as we've heard. So, Father, I thank you for showing us the way. Say, the Lord showed his acts to the children of Israel, or showed Moses his ways. The way into the things of the Spirit is by praising the Lord and repeating his word. Now, Lord, show us this way. Teach us this way. Help us, O Lord, to put upon us the garment of praise. Ah, the Lord said, I'll give you the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And Father, we give you, even today, all the praise and all of the glory, even as we have heard from your word, in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and praises to our God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.